Good morning, Happy New Year to you. I hope you had a good weekend and you had a good holiday season. So now this year we have entered into a new year and today we will be having communion. So I encourage you before we start our worship, before we start our service, go grab your bread, grab your wine, prepare it so that when we transit into communion today, there will be no hassle. And as we were reading the Bible passages, our daily devotion and they're through the veil. On 1st of Jan, we were reading Psalms 119, 105 to 112. So as we were reading that, let me share with you what it says first. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my free will offering of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked had laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end." And as we were reading this on 1st Jan, I was thinking, you know, every single year we would come to a place and we would think, hey, I'm going to have some New Year resolutions. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. So what better way to have a New Year resolution that's based on God's words? So this year I was thinking, I do not want to stray from God's word. This is one resolution that I have. Another goal that I set for myself is that I do not want to forget about God's goodness and the laws that He has for me so that I can continually be close to Him. So this morning as we come to worship, I encourage you to think about your goals for this year and how you can base it off Christ's words, how you can base it off God's words this morning. So let us rise and let us pray and prepare our hearts for worship. Lord, as we prepare ourselves to worship you this morning, I pray that you would cast aside all distractions that we have. And this morning, as we listen to your words, let us remember that it's your goodness and is you who have provided for us in the last year. And that this year, as we set goals for ourselves, that we can base it off what you have said for us and what you have taught us. So Lord, I pray that this morning you prepare our hearts, open our ears, and let us receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us worship.
My soul, time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Your holy name.
Bless the Lord,
bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy. Worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you.
Promise keep light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keep light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are here, touching every
stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop, you never stop working. God. You know that some of us are going through raging storms that may seem too fierce for us to get through. And at times, we could not even see you or feel you. We might think that you have abandoned us or even forgotten about us. But God, you have reminded us today that not even the most furious storm would override your very presence. The darkness will fall, the clouds together, shadow will come, and waves will roar. But you will be there, and you are right here. God, help us to anchor our trust in you and you alone. For you are the faithful God. You are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. You are the promise keeper. You are the light in the darkness. That is who you are. That is who you are. God, we praise you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, please be seated.
As difficult as 2020 was, for me, there was a big highlight. Last year, summer, I proposed to my then-girlfriend, who is Viziana. Some of you may know she works in the Children and Youth Ministry Department. I proposed to her, and I'm super thankful, super happy, super grateful that she said yes. And so now I'm officially engaged with her, and I call her fiancé now, supposedly. I should really get accustomed to that name. What we did right after we got engaged was we booked a pre-wedding photo. We wanted to do something photo shoot together, and so we booked a pre-wedding photo, and it was maybe like a couple months off from we engaged to the photo shoot. And then we set ourselves a goal. We told ourselves, hey, we gotta look our best for the photos. We gotta start doing masks, we gotta pamper our face, we gotta sleep early. We gotta, you know, start eating healthy greens, and we gotta do exercise, lose some weight, you know, lose some of this down here. And so we set our goal, and after, you know, time passed by, a couple of months, we achieved those goals. No, we didn't. We didn't achieve those goals at all. And just half-jokingly, the day before the photo shoot, you know, my fiancé and I, we were talking to one another, and we were saying, oh no, we're going to look fat in our photos, we're going to look horrible, our face is going to have so much pimples, and we're going to need so much makeup, and half-jokingly, because, you know, my fiancé, she was genuinely concerned about it. She was concerned about it. She was bothered by it. And she said, you know, I don't want us to look bad in the photos. And I told her, no worries. There's Photoshop. You can always Photoshop yourself to look the best that you can be. And she told me, well, I can't. Well, you can't Photoshop everything because, you know, what if we show the photos on the wedding day and then the pre-wedding photos and the wedding day, the real person, they don't match, right? They don't look like one another. And then I'm like, well, if that's the case, then what happens is I'll ask the photographers to Photoshop us to the best of his abilities, and then we'll just set that as our new goal. That's our next goal. From now until our wedding day, which is maybe like a year later, we are going to work towards that. And so then the day arrived, and we took the photos, and it was a great day. We had fun. And then a couple of weeks later, they called us, hey, you can come choose some photos. And then we chose the photos after a long period of time. It was like 3, 4, or 5 hours or something. We chose the photos, and then we got them printed. Well, it's printing now. And then we got the photos digitally. So I looked at the photos digitally. I looked at it on my laptop with my fiance, and we're going through the photos one by one. We're looking at it. Oh, it's like, looks good. It's not that bad. Like, we didn't Photoshop that much. You know, it's still pretty realistic and stuff like that. And then I got to one of the last photos, and I looked at it, and I'm like, something is a little off with the photo. It didn't look like that when we saw it. And then I zoomed in. I was like, okay, there's a little issue here. Like, we gotta fix this. So I told the photographer, hey, can you fix this for me? There was an issue in the photo. Can you fix this? And he's like, yeah, no problem. I'll fix it. And so he sent me the revised copy. I want to show you that photo. The photo one, I'm gonna put it on the screen, is the photo with the issue. I want to see if you can try to find out what the issue is. I'll give you a little bit of time. This is the photo with the issue. Can you see what the issue is? And I'll give you a hint, there's no issue with my fiance. She looks fabulous. So it's not, you don't look at the right side of the screen, just look at my side, the left half of the screen. Maybe look at the waves, look at the sea, look at the sky, or maybe look at me. Is there any issue with this photo? Because I found some issue. Now, if you can't find any, I'm gonna show you photo number two. Photo number two is the fixed one that he has sent back to me. Can you see the difference? Photo 2 is the fixed one. How about this? How about I show you a side-by-side comparison? You can look at it side-by-side. This is just my face, side-by-side. One is the original, two is the fixed one. If you can see, or we can put it up on the screen. Can you see the difference? What's the issue? How about now? I've brightened up the photo, and I've circled it with red. You can see it now. I don't know, maybe you have to zoom in a little bit, or maybe go closer to your TV screen to see it. When I saw the photos in HD, I noticed that that photo was unlike all the other ones. Because when you zoom into that photo, you can see all my scars and my pimples and my makeup and the bruises and the bumps and the spots on my face. Whereas all the other ones didn't have them. And I'm like, well, you know, photographer, you can't just fix all the other ones and leave this one unfixed. You gotta fix this one as well. And then obviously he did. To be honest, there was a period of time, I was quite naive to be honest, I thought that I wouldn't need much photoshopping. I thought, hey, that pretty much looked like me. It's not until I saw that photo I realized, okay, so it seems like my forehead isn't really that good, and my face over here, there's a lot of bumps and pimples, and my cheekbone is gonna have to, you're gonna have to punch it in a little, and then my nose is a little too big, and I'm just, you know, a little bothered by it, because I'm thinking, well, if he did that to my photo, which only showed like half the face, well, what did he do to all the other ones? I can't bring myself to think about them, and I just try to disregard it. But I can, and after that, you know, after that incident, what I had to do was I became really sort of self-conscious of myself. I told my fiance, I got to get some more masks. I can't just keep using yours. I gotta get some masks. And I pulled under my drawer and I looked for that serum, honey, diamond, the concentrate thing that supposedly makes your face, I don't know, better or something. And my complexion, which is a term that I learned to describe somebody's face, how bright your face is my complexion, I don't even know how to use it, it's not that great. Like it's kind of dark. It doesn't look great on camera. And not just my face, I realize I have a big forehead. And I have a genuine concern that my hairline is gonna give up on me sooner than I want it to. My body weight also became something that I started noticing. I've never really weighed myself back then, but I started to, and I realized, hey, you're close to 200 pounds, my guy. And I'm like, oh, 200 pounds? Back then when I was a little kid, I used to think 200 pounds people are fat. And I'm like, well, now you weigh 200 pounds. Like, what happened to you? And there was also one more thing that I noticed. People go for thigh gap. Like you might have heard of that. Thigh gap, the exercise so that when you put your legs together, you can see like, a gap between your thighs. I don't have thigh gap, but I have knee gap. What that means is when I put my legs together, my knee curves outwards. So my legs go like this. It's like a little oval shape. I don't know what happened to them. Maybe because I walk like slanted feet or something like that. My legs are not straight, and that bugs me a lot. And so I shared a lot of these things with my fiance, and she somewhat encouraged me, she comforted me, but also she said that, hey, you, this is about time you put on some mask and take care of your body. And I say, yeah, you're very kind. She shared with me her feelings too, and I, obviously, you know, you're fine, you look beautiful, you're just the way you are, you don't need to, you know. She shared the things that she's uncomfortable with. And we set ourselves another goal, hey, when we get to our wedding day, we gotta look like the photoshopped people. I know, I'm far from the only person that experiences these things, and in many ways, I think my experience is very, very mild compared to perhaps a lot of you guys. Say for my fiance, I know she battles with these thoughts like all the time. This is a battle, constant battle of negative self-talk and positivity, negative self-talk and positivity. Sometimes she wins, sometimes she loses. Sometimes she gets frustrated, exhausted, angry, tired. And I know that a lot of women, a lot of sisters, a lot of ladies, you guys deal with this in a much severe and much harder way than perhaps us guys do. You know, you go from the top, right? You go from the top, you go from your hair, and then you go from your forehead, and then your eyes over here, and then your nose, and then your lips, and then your face, and then your neck, and then your chest, and then your body, and then your waist, and then your thighs, and then your foot, and then your feet. And after you've done all that, you look at inside, you go, okay, well, am I kind enough? Am I nice enough? Am I too talkative? Am I not talkative? Am I good? You know, like, am I knowledgeable? And then you look at it here, it's like, okay, how much do I know? Do I know this? Do I know this? She knows more than I do, she's more talented. That's very difficult, I know. And if we're being completely honest with you, guys, we deal with this too. Sometimes in a lesser degree, but more often than not, it's just hidden. We have self-doubts too. We are insecure with who we are. And so we have all these insecurities about ourselves, about who we are as a person, about what we look like and what we can do and what we possess. And as a result, we are in a constant drive of trying to become the best. And if you're not in a constant drive, it might be because you've grown tired of this. You have given up. Or if you're not in this drive, maybe you're too young. You're simply too young. And I'm glad that you're not in the drive, but unfortunately, perhaps for a lot of us, when we get to a certain age, when we start to realize how other people look, what the commercials and ads are saying, we're going to get thrown into this sort of race of trying to look like the Photoshopped self, trying to look like the filtered self, trying to look like the perfect or the flawless self. Why is that? I'm not an expert on this. I haven't done, I haven't taken a degree in research, self-identity or psychology, but I suspect that part of the reason why this happens is that we have allowed others to define who we are. We have somehow came up with this equation that who I am is defined by what other people say. Who I am is defined by what other people say. And so subconsciously, even if they don't say it, who I am is defined by what other people think. Or worse is, who I am is defined by what I think people think. So it's not really the fact that they said it, it's just you imagining what they will think of you, and then somehow you became like that. And as you can imagine, and maybe you have that experience too, is you become very afraid of what other people think about you. And you think, and you overthink, and you think, and you overthink. And you try your best to do your best, to work your best, to become the best, to do everything at your best so that people can only see you at your best. And they don't see the bad parts about you. But one of the problem with this is the standard of best is like a goalpost that moves. It's a moving goalpost. It is unfair. It's super unfair. Because sometimes Korean is the look. Korean is the best. Like you have a certain weight is the best. Sometimes American is the best. Sometimes Japanese is the trend. Sometimes with this tall is the trend. Sometimes small eyes is the trend. Big eyes is the trend. That goalpost moves, and that's super unfair. And so once you've gotten there, you realize, hey, it moves already. And worse yet, for a lot of us, we have multiple goalposts that we have to satisfy. Think about it. The culture tells us that, okay, there's this goalpost, and your parents probably told you there's this, and maybe your siblings told you there's this, your friend told you there's this, and then your boyfriend or girlfriend told you, hey, this is the one that you gotta be. And now we are wrestling with not only moving goalposts, but a bunch of moving goalposts, and we're in that fear, and we're like, what are we supposed to do? And that's not the worst. The worst is these goalposts, you think, it makes you think that you can achieve them, but you can't. It's unrealistic. It is unachievable. And when you don't hit them, when you don't hit these standards, then we become self-conscious, we become hypercritical, we become hypersensitive to what others are saying about us. And if you're a contestant in Korea for the beauty pageant, you will know what I'm talking about. In 2018, there was an applicant called Kim So-min. Kim So-min. She lived in the States, and as she graduated from college, she went back to Korea to, she wanted to go into the news industry, and she thought, hey, there's this opportunity, I want to try out the pageant, not really wanting to win, I just want to get some experience, I just want to learn some more new things and challenge myself, just to try something new. That's her intention. So she entered in the pageant, she went through the first round, the preliminary, the regionals, and then for whatever reason, she got into the finals. She said there was 30 other girls, and they all look perfect and flawless, and they just walk flawlessly, they talk flawlessly, and everything they do is flawless. And now, on the night of the biggest beauty pageant in Korea, her name was called, and she was crowned Miss Korea 2018. Also crowned the most controversial Miss Korea. Some have crowned her the fattest Miss Korea, and some have crowned her the ugliest Miss Korea. And so it turns out that the most beautiful woman in Korea is not as appealing and not as assuring as it sounds like. And the reason is this. Soo Min is 5'8", 5'8", which is somewhere here. I'm 5'10". Pretty tall for a lady, I'll give you that. 5'8". And she weighs 58 kilograms, around 130 pounds. Like, I don't keep track of these, like what is heavy or what's not. Like, I don't really have an idea. But to me, it sounds very reasonable because I think, okay, I'm 5'10", I'm 200. She's 5'8", she's 130. I mean, like, if anything, she's a little underweight. But it turns out Korea's standard for a girl's weight, regardless of how tall you are, is always 50 kilograms, 110 pounds. Now, but some would say, if you work in the K-pop industry, the music industry, your standard is 42 kilograms. And you can already tell the goalpost moves. Once you hit 50, now there's 42. And that's unfair. That's unfair. And so many people consider this Miss Korea Soo Min was fat and overweight. And they're not afraid to let her know because that's the Korea culture. If I tell you you look ugly, there's something you need to fix with your weight, your face, I'm doing you a favor. I'm showing love to you. And so Soo Min received a lot of these negative comments right after she won. And so she shared in the interview after she heard all this, she was asked about how she felt. And she said this, and remember, this is a girl winning the biggest beauty pageant in Korea, which is this country that pretty much sets the beauty standard for the world. This is that girl. In 2018, she says this, she says, I remember being super hurt and crying in the beginning because I didn't know how to deal with those comments. At some point, it really made me insecure because you're constantly being criticized and they're saying that you're ugly and fat. I know I'm not fat and ugly. But when you hear these things constantly, you just lose all your confidence and you don't want to be social anymore. And you always have this pressure that you always have to look perfect. Even if you're crowned Miss Korea, even if you have finally achieved that goal or goals or those unattainable standards, you still battle with insecurity. There's always going to be people that don't accept you, and as a result, when you bank on what people say, then you're never going to arrive. And so for a lot of people, the cycle begins again. You achieve one goal, then you move on to the next. You try to become prettier, try to become skinnier, try to become better and better and better, until, for some of us, we learn to break the cycle. We learn that the outside world is not deserving of us. The outside world, they don't know any better. They don't have the right to define us. And so what we would do is we would just block out the outside world and we'll just look inside. Say, I am the only person that can define who I am. Who I am is defined by what I say and what I think. Sounds healthy enough. And so we're taught to find the positives in ourselves. And okay, we look at ourselves, okay, what are some positives? What are some positives? I have a small face. I think I have big eyes. I do like to read a lot. I mean, I am a reader. And then very quickly, when you look inside, the negatives just overwhelm you. And to be honest, it's not even a battle you fight with other people. It's not a battle you fight with outside, because when was the last time somebody came up to your face and called you fat? When was the last time somebody came up to your face and said, you have a big nose? When was the last time somebody came up to you and said, you have a big waist? It's highly unlikely that it's somebody but yourself. And so it's all stuck in here. When you look in, it's all stuck in here. There's a study done by a beauty product company. They ask women, what are some characteristics and features you like about yourself? Most of the women had a very tough time answering this question. Either they can't give an answer or they can give one, but it took a long time. But when they asked them, what do you not like about yourself? Here's the list. He says, they say, I feel ugly all the time. I have two baby teeth that's still here, and when I smile, I look like a mouse. I have bad proportions, big chest and short legs. My arms are too fat. My belly, I don't like my belly. My complexion, my thighs, my arms, my hair, my dry hair, my double chin, my plain face. My lips are not full enough, it can't be fuller. I always look tired. I have a big jaw, I have big chin. I have a round face, I have freckles, I have pimples, I have scars. And that's not it. Because you know it's not just physical. When you look into here, and you look at other people, and you come, I'm not smart enough. Hey man, I'm not talented enough. And if you're a reader, you say, I'm not athletic enough. And if you're an athlete, you say, I'm not book smart. And I'm not hardworking. I'm not as hardworking as that person. I'm not kind enough. There's so many junk inside of me. And if you're quiet, you say, I'm not talkative enough. And if you're talkative, you say, I'm not polite or quiet enough. This is not good enough. And so what happens is we then search for self-help, self-love, self-compassion videos, which is a trend nowadays. If you go on the YouTube, you search these three things, millions and millions and millions of videos. 10 ways to love yourself, 10 ways to love yourself instantly, 3 ways to show self-compassion, 5 ways to know you're lacking self-love. A million of them. And you look into one of those and you say, yeah, that's me, that's me, that's me. And then the suggestions were, okay, you gotta forgive yourself, you gotta forget the past, you just gotta accept yourself and give yourself kind words, just tell yourself that you're good enough, it's okay, and then you tell, okay, just accept yourself, and you're like, well, you can't accept yourself, you have like 100,000 views on the YouTube channel. Look at me. You can accept yourself, look at how good you look. Look at me. There was a comment on that video. It says this, it says, I don't even know what love feels like anymore. It's coming from a lady. I don't even know what love feels like anymore. I feel like I'm stuck in a hole of self-hate and depression. How am I supposed to love myself? And here's the reply. It says, it will just come to you one day out of the blue. It will just come to you one day out of the blue. It will happen randomly and naturally. Okay, so we just gotta try harder. But how do you love something that you hate? And so this is the case for a lot of us right now. When we look in an outside, we find that their goalpost is unrealistic. They move, they're cheating, they're unfair, their standard is unrealistic. And then we shut them out and we look in the inside, but all we find is just junk and flaws and imperfections and sort of bruises and scars. And when we try to love ourselves, we just left it with, okay, you just gotta try harder. Okay, I gotta try harder to love myself more. Maybe there's something wrong with me that I'm not able to love myself. I gotta try harder to be that perfect person that's okay with imperfections. And so we're stuck. And at the core of it, I think, we're wrestling with this. There's this fear that we're not loved, we're not accepted, we're not worth anything. We're not loved, we're not accepted, we're not worth anything. And I really hope that I'm exaggerating. I really hope that I'm making it sound worse than it is, but unfortunately, I'm not. Because in my conversations with my fiance, in my reflections about myself, and knowing how human beings work, I know that I'm not making it sound worse. This is the case for us. And so the question is, what do we do? If you're a Christ follower, you've heard of the Christian story, and you may vaguely remember that, or you may sort of feel like that's not what God intended this to be. Because you see, when God first made humanity, what did God say? God says it was good. God says it was good. Made man and woman, it was very good. And so, and now you start to wonder, well, what happened? What happened? Why are we not good enough all of a sudden? And then you say, well, probably before the fall, Eve didn't have to go through puberty. Eve probably didn't have pimples break out. Eve didn't have any comparison. Eve was the only woman. So what if she didn't have a thigh gap? So what if she was chubby? So what if she's not tall? What is Adam gonna do? he didn't have a choice. So maybe that's the reason why it was good. God, okay, there was no other competition, so Adam, just suck it up. I'm the only choice. Well, if I'm the only woman in the whole wide world, I'm going to be good enough as well, because what else do you got to do? But we're not living in this prehistoric time, so what do we do? What do we do? We're stuck in this middle part. Outside's not good enough. Inside, we can't do it. And somewhere in our consciousness or subconscious, we know that we got to get out of this loophole. Is perfection and flawlessness realistic or achievable? Or can we be content and confident with who we are when we're so full of scars and issues and bruises and shortcomings and imperfections and weaknesses? And can we ever go back to good? It was good. Can we go back to that? That's what we'll talk about in this series. And this is not just a series for ladies. Hopefully, I've made that clear already. This is a series for men and women, guys and girls, gentlemen and ladies. We're going to talk about relationships, accomplishments, works, beauty, as it relates to our value and who we are as a person. And we're going to look at what the Christian gospel offers and gives as the good news, as a comfort, or even joy, and what the Christian gospel says about beauty, perfection, and flawlessness. And so as we start, let's come back to this question. What do we do with this? The fear that I'm not loved, I'm not accepted, I'm not worth anything, or maybe for a lot of us, it's not just a fear, it's a belief. Like, you believe this down to your bones, and that I'm not loved, I'm not accepted, and I'm not worth anything. And may I suggest, the issue is not so much of whether somebody else has a say of who you are. The issue is not whether or not somebody defines you. The issue is who defines you. The issue is who defines you. You've seen the outside doesn't work. The inside doesn't work. Who defines you is the solution. And if you're a Christ follower, you already know where we're going. You say, well, I know God made me. God's a creator. God made me intentionally. He loves me. Christ died for me. You know all this, but somehow it doesn't stick. It's not sticking to you. It's not working for you. And so I hope today we can give you a passage, and I pray that this passage will be a foundation of your identity. Today's passage comes from Ephesians 1. Ephesians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. And this is part of the big opening passage, which for Paul, usually he starts it off by praising God. Like, there's a huge segment of praise. And in this specific one, he's praising God specifically for God's spiritual blessings, the gifts that he's given. And so it reads like this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places." And then Paul then goes on to list a huge list of those spiritual blessings. And today we're going to look at one verse. It says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places." Here it is. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, now we should be holy and blameless before him. Let's break this down one by one. He chose us in him. He chose you. He chose you. Think about what that means for a second. Maybe it doesn't mean much to you right now, because maybe for some of us, through our whole life, we've always gotten chosen. We're always the ones that got chosen, that got picked, that got favored, showed to. But if that's not the case, you know the weight of this feeling. If you're not always the one that gets chosen, you know what this feels like for you. Because in the last time you went to a job interview, they chose somebody else because they thought he or she was more qualified. You had this feeling for this guy or this girl, and then they chose somebody else because they were more good looking. You're the ones that always got chosen last when you're out with your friends or when you're playing games with them. You're never the one that gets special treatment, special perks or deals and gifts. You're not chosen. And you say to yourself, I probably wouldn't choose myself first Why would I? I'm average. I'm mediocre. These are the words you describe yourself. You're average, mediocre, then why would anybody choose me? There's like 5 million other people out there that's like me. But here's the good news. You're chosen. You're chosen. Somebody sees you as valuable, and he sees you as worthy to be chosen and handpicked you to be on their team. You're chosen. You're chosen. Who chose you? He chose you. Not your boss. Not a guy. Not a girl. Not your boyfriend. Not your girlfriend. Not your wife. Not your husband. Not even your dad and your mom. God chose you. The God who made all this and who made you. And he says, he didn't need to choose anybody, he says. And he looks you in the eye and he says, I want you. I choose you. I have chosen you. When did he choose you? Even as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world. Think about how far this goes. He chose you before you had a successful career, before you were making bucks and money and earning a living, before you show yourself to be capable, before you graduated from college and learning all that stuff, before you graduated from high school, before you lost weight, before you got slimmer, before you looked better, before you got braces, before you even know what makeup is, before you had this notion of what is beautiful and what's not, before you were born, but before the world was formed, before the foundation of the world, there was this God that chose you when you were nothing, when you weren't even on anybody's mind. You were on his mind. He has thought about you before he made all this, and he says, I'm going to make you, and I'm going to choose you. You are valuable to me before the foundation of the world. And so naturally then you ask, well, why did he choose me? Why me? We hope to hear like a list of reasons, because if somebody chooses you because you look beautiful or you look pretty or because you're talented, then those are become your identity. But if you ask God, why did you choose me? And God would say, well, there's no reason. You weren't even here when I chose you. Well, actually, there's a reason. Love is the reason. But why did he love me? There's no reason. There's no condition to this. It's unconditional. I pray that you feel liberated. Because this is a different kind of love. Because when people choose you, when people love you and they show their appreciation for you, a lot of times it's for a specific reason. Because you're pretty, because you're talented. But what if you're not these things anymore? Then do they still love you? Do they love you, or do they love the thing that you have? Do they love you, or do they love the qualities that you have? But God says, I chose you not because you're anything, but especially because you're nothing. God says, I love you, regardless of how you look. And so you don't have to keep chasing those standards, these goalposts, and to make people like you. You're already loved by the person that matters most. And you're, what are you chosen for? Like you're chosen for a purpose. When somebody chooses something, it's for a purpose. Why do you choose you? To be holy and blameless before him. Chose us before the foundation of the world so that we can be holy and blameless before him. Holy means sacred. Holy. When you see somebody that's holy, you stand back and say that you revere, you respect them. And not only that, holy also means set apart, like free from sin, free from brokenness, free from all these your worst regrets. God, that's what God set you out to be. And holy also has this connotation. It's the notion of setting apart oneself for a spouse. Like me setting apart myself for my fiance. God set you apart for God. God has set you apart for him. You're not made for this world, he said. And blameless. He's made you to be blameless. He's chosen you to be blameless. Without blemish. Blameless. Without blemish. Without flaws. Without fault. Perfect. That you should be holy and blameless before him. Do you know who that is? Holy and blameless before God? Jesus Christ. He is the standard for holiness and blamelessness and flawlessness and perfection. And God says, I chose you to become the most beautiful human being, the perfect human being, the most complete person to ever walk this planet. And God says, I chose you and I love you so that you can become like Jesus Christ. And a little bit later, in that passage, Paul says, God predestined all these to happen, meaning he has willed it. It will happen. It must happen because it's part of God's will that you, that he chose you to become holy and blameless before him. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So church, may I suggest this? That we stop letting others define who we are. And don't even define yourself, because there's too much flaws and junk and it's not trustworthy. But there is one that's trustworthy, that's faithful, and whose opinion truly matters, and that's God. And so let God say who we are. Let God define you. And to my sisters in Christ, to the ladies, perhaps you have spent a long time in your life looking at what other people say, what the standards are, and you find that that's unrealistic, and you've shut everybody out, and now you're looking in, and you feel like there's nothing in here. And you try to self-love, self-compassion, you tried all this and it doesn't seem to be working well. May I suggest that you try to let God define you? Let God's truth be the foundation of your identity. And at the end of the day, this is going to be a choice for all of us, guys and girls, ladies and men. Do you let other people define you? Do you let yourself define you? Or do you let God define you? Allow me to give you a little analogy. I feel that perhaps we could illustrate it in this sense. Throughout my whole life, I have worked in a lot of places and I've had many opportunities where I got name tags for my work. And naturally, because all these opportunities, these shows, these gigs, these performances, they meant a lot to me. And so what I would do is I keep them. It has my name on it. It says what I have done in there. It's sort of like my accomplishment. And it also gives me a little sense of pride and sense of maybe my identity of who I am as a person, what I was able to do, what I was able to achieve. And so throughout time, I've been collecting all these things. And consciously or subconsciously, I have sort of put them all on. This is like a keyboard competition, music competition, my ability. And sometimes, you know, people will comment on my music and what I like and what I'm good at, and I start to take those into heart. And maybe for you as well, you have a couple of these as well. What other people said about you, and that you've been putting them on. And I think also, we have a couple of these. Plain name tag, nothing ordinary, nothing extraordinary. This is an ordinary name tag, but it says that you're ugly and you're fat and you're short and you don't look good, and you put that onto yourself and you wrote a tag for yourself like this and you put all these on yourself. And I know for a lot of you, you're so tired of this junk. You're so tired of this weight that's on your neck. And really, that's not what God intended for you, to hold this tag on your life, to constantly have this hung on your neck to decide who you are. And so today, my invitation for you is this, that you replace it with this. Nothing special, doesn't even look that appealing, that name tag. But it's what God says. And I invite you to take all this and dispose of it. Don't put it on yourself anymore and hang this on your neck, Ephesians 1:4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Put it on your neck. That's your new name. That's your name tag. That's your identity. And very practically for us, if you want to do this, I urge you, I suggest to you, I hope that you would memorize the scripture. He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Memorize this. And how you can put this on is whenever you feel the doubt to take, whenever you feel like somebody's going to put this junk on you, whenever you feel like you want to put this, these not good enough tags on you, you tell them this. And you say, by reciting this, I'm going to put this tag on myself. And I'm no other person than what God says I am. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. The tag is here. The tag is here. Are you going to put it on? There's one thing that I thought I should mention as well. In choosing us, God paid the price. In choosing us and bringing us incomplete human beings, unholy and full of brokenness, in choosing us and bringing us back to Him, God paid a price. And that price is Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we know fully God's love for us. We are confident of God's love for us, of this. And this is what we celebrate each month in communion. The love that God has for us through Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on a night when He was betrayed, He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, He also took the cup after supper, and He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." And church, today I invite you to partake in communion at your home. And when you partake in communion, will you remind yourself of this, of what God has done so that you can have this, and that this is yours to take. And as you partake in communion, I invite you to make that decision. Church, I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing a song together. This song is an act of putting this on, and an act of taking all these other junk off. So I encourage you to sing this with your full voice and make that decision to put this on for the rest of your life. Let us stand. Let us join in this song together.
He brought me in, oh, His love for me, oh, His love for me, who the Son said.
was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I
For those of you who have made the decision to take off those name tags of yours, take off those name tags that other people have given you, and you have made the decision to put on God's name tag for you, that name tag that says, I'm chosen before the foundation of the world, that I should be holy and blameless before Him. The name tag that says, I am the child of God. For those of you who have decided to do that, I want to bless you. I want to bless you that you are firmly rooted. Your identity is firmly rooted in Christ. In Christ. Because you were chosen in Him. That you will build your foundation on Him and on His love for you. Not on anybody else, but you will build your foundation on that name tag. And I bless that that foundation is a sure foundation. It will never be shaken. And I bless that whenever you come back to yourself and you look at that name tag again, the name tag that God has given you, the Spirit will always remind you of who you are. And the Spirit's voice is going to drown out all the other voices. It's going to cover all the other voices. And that you will always find joy and find contentment, find affirmation, and find your identity in who God says you are. And for the rest of us, for some of us, we haven't made that decision. We're not willing to take those down. Maybe for you, there is some fear inside of you. There is some uncertainty of what will happen when you do that. I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. that you will come to see, you will slowly begin to taste and see why that identity is so much better than everything else. And God, we praise you because of all you've done so that we can have that identity in you. We thank you for that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, please be seated.
We've come to the end of today's worship, but I still have some things that I want to share with you before I say goodbye. The first thing is offering. So I find that offering is one very practical way for me to practice and to enter into worship, because this is a spiritual discipline that I find that it's very important, because this would help me to constantly remind myself that what I have is given from God, and it's just a response of my love to Him. It's my way of worshiping Him by giving it back to the church such that we can use it to continue for His ministry and to continue His good works. So there are different ways you could participate in offering. You could use PayPal, you could head to mykac.ca, there's credit card, or you could drop off a check at the office. So these are just some ways that you could head over to mykac.ca, find out more there. Another thing that I want to tell you is Connect Card. If this is your first time here this morning, I encourage you, head over to mykac.ca, fill out the Connect Card, send it to us, and allow us to connect with you. Let us find out more about who you are. At the same time, you can find out more about the church from us. So we can send you some information about our small group called Oikos. You can find out more about the courses that we might be having and what is that's going to be coming up for the next few months. So I encourage you, fill it up, let us know who you are, and connect with us. And the final thing that I have to say is I will encourage you strongly to join our small group ministry, which is Oikos. So Oikos is for people who would like to develop their community life in church. It's allowing them to join together with us such that we can all grow together and be together, united as one in Christ. And Oikos is one very good way because it's a place where we can share, we can laugh, we can cry, we can do that all together within your small group. And this is a place where you can bless and you will be blessed. So I encourage you, if you have not signed up, sign up for Oikos, join the pre-Oikos class, and then join the Oikos groups, and then we can all grow together. So allow me to bless you today as we depart. So allow me to bless you from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. For it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So I pray that in this upcoming week, you'll be blessed and that you'll find comfort, you'll find satisfaction in Christ Jesus. I'll see you next week.